Okay. Thank you very much. And it was rather close, Växjö. But it's not so easy to pronounce this for many non-Swedish people. First of all, I would like to thank the organizers for this very kind invitation so I could come here and have this talk. And since I'm the last speaker, it should not be closed down now, but I just in general thank you, especially Professor Wong and the others, for a very nice workshop. And it has been a really, at least for me, and I hope for the most of all here, very nice meeting where we could come together and discuss a lot of things from mathematics to other things. And for people like me with a little bit with Swedish time jet lag and not so good sleeps during the nights, some rules was actually a little bit interchanged. Usually when I come to seminars, I have a lot of energy, but during the seminars I've become more and more sleepy. But here it was the opposite. I came rather tired, but during the seminars they were so interesting, so I actually could see how I got more and more energy, and hopefully this was the case for a lot of us here. In any case, I find this a very nice meeting. I'm going to talk about Weyl operator algebras and modulation spaces. And the results, the new results that I'm going to present, it is a joint work together with Patrik Wahlberg and Anders Holst. And this is what it will concern. Actually, it is not only Weyl operator algebras, it is in general, it's actually, but from time to time you have to turn, but I tell you then, okay. It is in general pseudo-differential operator algebras, because at once you got some results for Weyl operators, and where you are using modulation spaces, you can almost always say something about other pseudo-differential calculi. So this is the plan of the talk. We are going to give a little bit motivations. And then we come to the necessary definitions. Okay, a lot of this has already been presented, but I will actually make a brief recall, a short recall. And then we continue with the pseudo-differential operators. And later on, what is done in this context of pseudo-differential operator algebras and modulation spaces. I will not recall all results. And finally, we'll discuss a little bit recent results. And here are a list of important papers. Well, actually, when I came here and looked at my slides, I found that two references are missing. First, there is a very nice paper by Charlie Grachenig here and Chris Heil about counterexample paper. It's from 2004, which concerns when we don't have L2 continuity when we have pseudo-differential operators with the modulation space symbols. And the other paper I forgot to bring here is actually the preprint that this talk is based on. So there are two important papers that is missed. But in any case, these papers are in some sense important to this seminar. So just make a recall of modulation spaces. This is the classical or non-weighted modulation spaces. This is a short time Fourier transform, and to create the modulation space norm, we just apply the mixed LPQ norm. We have seen this before. There's also another, they are closely related to a certain type of Wiener amalgam spaces. So if you just replace the order of integration with, when you have the X and the Xi, you get instead something called the Wiener amalgam spaces. So these are the norms of it is always nice to look a little bit about properties. When you look, come with a space that you're not so very used of, what kind of space is this? Well, first of all, if you take PQ equals to 2, it's the same as L2, that's good. This is almost a wish that you always have. They should be the same. An interesting thing is that if you take the full transform and you put P and Q equal, then it turns out that the modulation spaces, they are invariant under full transformation, and so on. And, more or less all properties have been told before, but this shows that it has natural duality properties, as it should. This property is interesting because this shows that the modulation spaces, they are increasing when one of the exponents here are increasing. Important property, of course. And this as well, it is embedded in the set of continuous functions if and only if Q is equal to 1. This can be it's not difficult calculated from the definitions. At least that it should be continuous when Q is equal to 1, and we can just take some kind of a box function or to get a function which is belong to M1Q when Q is strictly larger than 1. So it's easy to find counterexample that when Q is larger than 1 that it cannot, that it contains not continuous functions. And it has some rather nice embedding properties with Lebesgue spaces. And for those people who know something about Bessel spaces or Sobolev spaces of other Lebesgue norms than P equals to 2, they are actually rather, in some sense, rather similar to these spaces. Another property that I think is a little bit interesting, could you please turn on the light, is that, let's say that you want to, well, first of all, if we take the intersection with a set of compactly supported distributions, then it turns out that they are not depending on the P parameter. So this is true, and it's also the same as the Fourier LQ and E prime, So in this case, when you have compactly supported elements, it is completely determined the elements in the modulation spaces. If I have a periodic functions or a distribution, so Xi alpha is a lattice, then F belongs to MPQ, M infinity Q is the same as it should be in the Fourier transform of M Q infinity. Normally this space is actually in general larger than this, but in the case that you have periodic functions, they are actually equal. And this in turn is exactly the same as this C alpha. This sequence should be in LQ. So basically, when you have, for example, periodic functions of this type, it has, then it's easy to see that these Fourier coefficients are absolutely convergent, and this is actually functions in M infinity 1. If you then should cut this function, so you should only have two or three pulses in this way, but nothing more, then you have something in M11 and so on, because of this support property. It's basically because of this. So, and this also shows, but there are also other examples for, from other people within the time frequency community, that they don't need to be smooth, these functions. Okay. So, but we are going to talk about modulation spaces with weights. So we can, get a little bit more grow and decay properties for such distributions, as well as regularity properties. So this is just a general assumption on the weight functions. We assume that they are V moderate for some appropriate function V. In my case, just for simplicity, I assume that this V should be bounded by some polynomial. So this is the requirement of the V. And then we are defining the modulation spaces in almost the same way. But now we take, here we have this nice tool. Now we take this mixed LPQ norm, not only on this short-time Fourier transform, but also when we have multiplied with this weight function. And basically, if omega is growing in the x variables, it imposes that the distribution must decay to zero more and more quickly, the more and more it grows. It must decay to zero at infinity for the distribution f. If we instead have growing properties on the xi variables, it means that we impose regularity on our distribution f, if it should belong to this weighted modulation space here. Okay. Some important modulation space, it is these ones. So they are so important I will just quickly write them down for the future. So in the case that we put MPQ of F equal to MPQ of omega, when omega x and xi is equal to this hook x and xi up to power s, and this hook, it is some kind of standard notation. I hope I don't need to write it down. And we put it as MPQ omega if omega of x and xi is equal to x up to power t and xi up to power f. So this is the notation I'm using here. So I take this away. Just a few more properties. Of course, if you then take t equal to zero here, you are landing on the standard Sobolev space, parameter s. If you instead take s equal to zero, you came to a corresponding weighted Lebesgue space, with p equals to 2. And if you take s larger than equal to zero, then this space is actually the intersection here. All these things that I have been talking about so far has, this is old result within the time frequency community. Basically, I think basically developed the main persons in this development is Feistinger and Grachenig. I have not done special. I haven't done something in this about this. So the differential operators, you recognize the definition. The normal representation of Korn-Nierenberg representation appears when t is equal to 0. And if t is equal to 1/2, we got the Weyl quantization. In the way that I am computing things, I find it most of the time convenient to use the Weyl quantization. But usually these are the calculus that you are using, and then perhaps you try to generalize it to other calculi. I take this rather quickly because I suppose you have seen a lot of these things before. As far as I know, the first paper when modulation spaces were used as symbol classes, it was in the paper by Sjöstrand, Johannes Sjöstrand, and the paper is from 1994. And he proved that if A is in M infinity 1, then this pseudo-differential operator is continuous on L2. In that time it was really surprising, but later on it was in different steps generalized, for non-weighted modulation spaces, it seems that the final result that could appear and the final generalization of this result, it could be written in this way. And an interesting thing is that this paper here is really a pseudo-differential calculus. You are using the classical tools in pseudo-differential calculus, but this result here has been so far what I know proved basically in terms of harmonic analysis, where you don't need so much about these kind of estimates. Not in this, at least. If we take P equal to infinity and Q equal to 1, and P1 and P2, and these exponents here equal to 2, then we come exactly to Sjöstrand's result. And then there are some straightforward generalizations to weighted modulation spaces. And actually, this case with weighted modulation spaces, the proof of getting something for weighted spaces, the proof that was done here works more or less in the same way here. And that's fascinating, and this also shows the beauty of when you can get results of modulation spaces. You can many times, when you have a result in the non-weighted case, you can just put weight on, and you have also some results in the weighted case. So, and in the Weyl calculus, if we take t equal to 1/2, the result can be formulated in this way. So, we assume as A is in MPQ of omega. And actually, I denote with tilde here that I'm using not the standard Fourier transform, but the symplectic Fourier transform. A hat of x equal to pi up to minus n, the double integral, a y eta, e up to 2i y xi minus x eta, dy d eta. And here I think as x is equal to x and xi, and it should belong to R to n, and so on. And of course, y is also y and eta belongs to R to n. What you can prove then is, I can't move this, no? Yeah. This? No, I don't think so. But it's no problem. We do like this. Ah, this I need. But I don't need the first one. Okay. Then what you, if we take now omega of x and y equal to omega 1 of x minus y divided by omega 2 of x plus y in this way, then this a value of x and d is going from np1 q1 of omega 1 to MP2 and Q2 of omega 2 in this way. So when you're using, I'll say, symplectic arguments, you can formulate a lot of results in a rather beautiful way. Because if we should, in other calculi and with standard Fourier transform, it doesn't look so beautiful that you have just x minus y and x plus y. So that's it. And as I also said before, I can just write it down, is that if we compare this set here, the set of possible pseudo-differential while operators with this kind of modulation space, a symbol class, and compare this with, if we take another T, then actually, if it should be the same weight functions, they are not the same in general. But by just a slight change of this weight function in a suitable way, we actually get that you have equality here. So once you have done something in the Weyl calculus, then it will be something in the other calculi as well. So, few consequences. A, in F00, this is the set of all smooth functions which are bounded together all with their derivative. So A and all, its derivative should be in L infinity. Then, from the continuity results, it follows, actually, and since we have that F00 is the intersection, this is not hard to prove when you have all the necessary embeddings, for example, between modulation spaces and Bessel spaces. Then it turns out that you have, when A is in this class, then it maps F00 to F00, which is actually can also be proved in another way. It is also a consequence of a paper by Tachisawa from 94. Okay. Now we come to the algebraic properties. In the paper from 94 by Sjöstrand, actually this was more or less the key step in his approach to everything. So what he succeeded to prove in his first paper, it was that M infinity 1 is an algebra under composition of pseudo-differential operator product. I think he wasn't interested of other type of algebras, but in a paper by myself from 2001 it appeared. I extended this result, not as what it stays in the abstract. I wrote that I improved Sjöstrand's result. I didn't actually. I don't think it's easy to improve this result. I extended it, and so it follows some kind of Young relation here. At the same time, Labate, he was proving also a result on composition in pseudo-differential calculus, and this is a consequence of his investigations. So this is what was done so far. So a result that we have now got, me and my cooperators, it was, we have to say, extended this result in different ways, both with respect to this modulation space exponent and also with respect to the weight functions. One can say that why did we do this? Because actually to prove sufficiency results in this context, you don't need so very much new arguments to get something better than what already exists with old methods. The reason is that we wanted to make something complete. So this is actually the main motivation for us. As always, when you start to do something, you get something more than you expected. The weight functions here, if we should have this kind of product properties, it is necessary. Here is how we can, what we assume about the, it's something strange here actually. It's actually not complete, these conditions that I wrote here. What should also be true is that 1 over P1 plus 1 over P2 plus 1 over Q1 plus 1 over Q2 should be equal to 1 plus 1 over P plus 1 over Q. This is actually missing. I saw this first now. In any case, basically 1 over P plus 1 over Q should be equal to 1 if you introduce P and Q in this way. This, what P and Q should be, we know, but what about the weight functions? Well, the weight could be rather one permitted triples okay it is if omega j of x and y is only dependent on the second variable, then it should be like omega 0 of y1 plus y2 should set, then they should satisfy some kind of moderate condition. Okay. Two, if omega 1 and 2 should instead be depending on x variables. Then we should have a little bit about the similar condition. Then it should be y2 minus y1. This should be then less than c omega 1 of y and omega 2 of y. So actually what this means is that decaying properties on these symbols, when we take the y product, we impose regularity properties instead, a little bit. See? Well, I think in the case that the weights that Labate was used, he used this kind of weights, x and y, up to power s. Then they are, then it is permitted as soon as s is larger than or equal to zero. Four, if omega f x and y is equal to x up to power t, y up to power s, then everything works well, I mean omega j works well as soon as t is less than 2s. So this is some examples on what you can permit in this context, but they're all more general results actually. Which, okay, so this is a little bit about what we wrote, but you can also invert some of these weights and still you get permitted triples, as is explained there. Okay, so what does this results mean then? Well, here's the former, the older results. This is my earlier results, and this is Labate's. So, from this general result, we can actually get that this, if we, by choosing them in a certain way, then we come to this result. And for example, if we choose now q equals to p equals to 1, or p equals to r, I'm sorry, and so on, we see that this kind, and all q's equal to 1, then we recover this case. But we can also get something like this, which should then be compared to Labate's result here. But it's not really exactly the same result as before, because in this case here, we have MP, P everywhere, but here we have P and P prime. And then actually this is an improvement, because when p is between 1 and 2, p prime is larger than 2. And then we actually increase the modulation space. So this modulation space here is larger than that one. So it's not only, how to say, improvement, an extension concerning the conditions on the weights, but also on this modulation space parameters. Okay. So how to get these results? This I don't need, I think. Well, to get this sufficiency result, we actually looked at an old formula from this paper, which basically says that if you are choosing, let's say that you have a Weyl product, and that you are choosing the window function in the Weyl product as a new Weyl product of two good window functions, then you can describe the short time Fourier transform of this Weyl product in some sense of, special twisted convolution. And just to show a little bit how we can use this to get, for example, this improvement of Labate's result, it is then not difficult to calculate computation at all. I can just So, For simplicity, I skip all the weights. Let's assume that we shall MP. In this, we want to look what happens with this object here when P is larger than or equal to 2. Okay. Then, if we let K1 be the modulus of the short time Fourier transform of A, and K2 be the modulus of the short time Fourier transform of B, then it follows that this is less than, from this estimate, by just moving in the modulus into the integral, it follows that this product here must be, and applying the LP norm, if we apply the LP norm here, we get the modulation space norm on the product of A and B. And then we see that this is less than a constant, and the double integral of this K1 of y minus x minus y plus z, and then z. And I think now we know what this is. This is just the modulus of these short time Fourier transforms, and K2 of x plus y. X plus z, sorry, y minus z, dz, up to power the x and the y. This is what you get. And of course, just a simple estimate by Hölder's inequality makes that you can actually write this as the integral of k1 of x minus y plus z and z, up to power p dz, times the next integral. And by making it, now it becomes the integral of the z variables, and by making just a simple change of variables, we can get x plus y minus z and z. Okay. And this up to p prime dz. And when this should then be up to a power p over p prime, and integration with the x and the y. Okay, this way. Now you can just change the what you can do now is that you just can change integration parameters x minus y and x plus y. So you can think this here stays x and here y. Okay. And then you just you see that what this will be then, it will be the integral of k1 of x and z up to power p, the x and the z. And here, well, what you can do is that you can you have this integral, but now only with respect to y after all this. And what you can do then, since p is larger than or equal to 2, this here is greater than or equal to 1. So we are able to use the Minkowski's inequality to prove that this is less than equal to this constant times this and double integral of k2 of y and z. And then this up to a power p prime. Sorry, it should be p here, okay. Dy. And when this is finished, it will be p prime over p dz, and when this in turn is finished, it will be p over p prime here. And then it turns out that this is nothing else than constant times the modulation space norm of A of MPP times the modulation space norm of B, because these are the short time Fourier transforms with respect to MP and P prime. And that's it. How you can get this. Not difficult computations, of course. So, this is how you can get formula. But I can continue here on the blackboard, the last thing. You can also, looking for situations when you are not able to multiply, when you can also try to look for necessary condition. Sufficient condition is rather straightforward many times, but how about the necessary conditions? Well, we can take, for example, the question, when is MPQ an algebra? Okay. So this means that when we take product of one element here and here, they should be contained in MPQ. When does this happen? Well, if we look at how to say the main result, it turns out that if we now take an axis P and Q, and here is infinity, and here is 1 and 1, how to say, and here it's P Q is equal to 2 and 2, it turns out that from the main theorem this can be true. Well, if you have P and Q in this region, it's no problem. But what about outside? Well, if you make some kind of have a duality treatment of this here, it turns out that if this is true, then this is more or less equivalent with that. This should be true, P prime. So P prime and Q prime, I forgot to tell you, this is rather late to tell you, but this is of course a conjugate exponent, so 1 over P plus 1 over P prime is equal to 1. By interpolation, it turns out that this leads to that MPQ composed with M2 has to be an M2, which in turn is the same as the operator. This is the same as the operator of MPQ should be continuous on L2. It's not very difficult to see this, but these are something that is true. And now by using this counterexample arguments that Charlie and Heil proved, it turns out that this region here, they proved actually that the only place when you have P and Q exponents that are for sure will give L2 continuous pseudo-differential operators, it is along these lines. The border of this is this line, that P is equal to Q prime, and here, that Q is equal to 2. So in this region here, you have L2 continuous, you always have L2 continuous symbols. But outside here, you can always find symbols that are not giving rise to any continuous pseudo-differential operators. So this means that here we now know that this, if you take P and Q here, you cannot have any algebraic properties in this way. The same here. Here you know that you always can get it, but what about this region? And then, I see I have not so very much time, and this is a lot to speak. I know that you have collected a lot of energy during this week, so you are very alert. But in any case, I think my time will not be enough to give some arguments. But actually, by using some kind of sequences and so on, you can prove that this is actually not an algebra as well. So my conjecture about this result is that it is not only sufficient, it is also a necessary condition. I feel that this should be true. So thank you very much.